heard a man tell a story once, and he was talking to some people, and he's talking about how he was really encouraged. The other night, he was out at a restaurant, and he looks across the restaurant, and he sees a family there praying. He just said, you know, it's just really encouraging to him to see families praying together in our society where that's getting less and less the case. Then he went on to say, I looked over a couple minutes later, and to my surprise, they're still praying. Oh, wow, really serious. And then I looked over about 10 minutes later, and then I realized they were all staring down at their phones. The long prayer. What we're talking about today is technology. Now, wait a minute, Austin. How can you get up here and preach about technology? There is not one verse in the Bible about tablets or phones. Excellent point. Well noted. I'm not going to talk to you about specifically what the Bible teaches about an iPhone. And I'm also not going to go through all the different statistics about technology and how it's changing our brains and how there's a pandemic, and I don't use that term lightly, on mental health in teenagers with anxiety and depression because of technology. You can look at those statistics in books that are being written currently. But from time to time in this forum, we're going to talk about things that may need to be uniquely qualified. And what do I mean by that? The Bible talks about a time period when you're a baby as a Christian, and you are learning basics. You're learning the milk of the word. But then there would come a time where a disciple would not just go from what does a command say? Is it right or wrong? But they would go straight to the heart of God. They would want to walk in a way that pleases their God, not just, is it right or wrong? Look at Hebrews chapter 5 in your Bibles. I'm going to also put it up here. I'm going to use the screen quite a bit today on verses. So check these on your own time. If you want the slides or notes, let me know. But these are copied and pasted from mostly the New American Standard. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Says, for everyone who partakes only of milk, that's what we were just talking about, right? Is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Do you see that word mature? Your version might say complete, or maybe another word in there in that word family. The idea is complete. And to the point of where we're looking for as a disciple to grow toward. We're driving toward a maturity that because we've been practicing what the scriptures teach, we can tell very quickly what would be evil and what would be good or what would lead toward those things. What would help us to be more like Jesus and what would cause us to stumble? So I've decided to term these types of lessons as driving toward maturity. That's what we're working toward in our discipleship. We're not here to just say, what does the Bible say? Is it right or wrong? We're also here to say, is it wise? Is it helpful? And will it lead toward pleasing God? I'm going to give a caveat about this study. You know I do this all the time. But this is a specific one. I needed this. I needed this study. I always need the studies, but I specifically needed this study. It was really helpful to me. And if anybody leaves here today and says, man, that was hard. That was hard to hear. Just ask my wife and she can say, I hope he listened. This is hard. And then I want to also give a caveat. If you're somebody who doesn't really have much to do with technology, not really interested in it, blessed are you. Because perhaps you can use these ideas. I don't want you to just sit back and not listen, but maybe you can use these ideas to help people you love who may be struggling with technology, just depending on where they are. That being said, good morning. Good to see everybody. And it's so good to be back here teaching God's Word. It's been a great morning, hasn't it, in God's Word together. What a powerful event we studied in Bible class on the resurrection and working together as disciples in that. And I also want to praise God for giving us Jonathan this past week. And his word and his teaching were rich from God's word and also careful. And I appreciated that. And I want to thank our shepherds, too, for feeding the sheep, for thinking about how we can grow. Well, let's just talk about how did we get where we are today with technology. I could go way back. Let's just look at this picture. What's the focus of this picture? What's going on? Yes, he's reading the newspaper, and that's okay. Well, where is everybody else? Irrelevant. Dad's reading the newspaper. Not really a time to talk to him. I'm doing other things. Leave me alone. Then, as you can see, there is this focus outside of the family. Then later, maybe in the 60s and 70s, it was time to come home, to turn on the tube, and tune out. And as you see in the background, wives didn't quite have that option. As she is busy working in the home, Dad gets to enjoy the shows. And then with cable TV comes Sesame Street and the Electric Company and a lot more TV for kids and adults. So set them in front of the TV so you can get some of your life back, because man, kids are a drag. And we would say, now Devin, don't sit too close to the TV. You might end up, you know, hurting your eyes. But then you remember this. The countertop TV. You know, I'm busy working in the kitchen. I'm doing something, but I also need to have the TV on. You know, why do I need this quietness in the kitchen? Mom's got in on this idea, too, that we've been looking at. I need to have it on all day. I can't miss Ricky Lake and Mari and Days of Our Lives or whatever. Right? Remember those shows? Now today, we have these handy devices called tablets where anytime and anywhere you want, you can be entertained. And you can be distracted from life. Man, we even need a screen on our refrigerator. Do you see that? We need to make sure that we have these screens because why not? Give me just a second. Okay, sorry. I got a text. What happened to you just then? You thought it was funny. But what happened was you got snubbed. You got ignored. I thought that something was far more important than you. Someone has called this fubbing. What? Fubbing. It's a verb. It means to snub someone with your phone. When you snub someone, but you know, you have your phone in your hand, so it makes it all better. And friends, this happens in families, with kids, in our dearest, closest relationships, the world over, millions of times, every second. you're not as important as what I can see on my phone and my screen. I don't believe in evolution, but as far as macro, I believe in micro, but not where we came from apes, but I thought this picture was fitting. You just kind of go up and then you kind of go back down. Especially in the last 30 years, the story has been told, and you've seen it, that we have developed technology faster than we have developed the appropriate uses of technology. And we're already seeing that with AI and ChatGPT and how those are being abused quickly. All right, Austin. Okay, all right. Are you saying we need to be Amish? Are you saying we need to be a Luddite? We just need to toss and throw away every device and all the things in our houses that we have that are smart and be dumb again? No. And if you leave today with that thinking, well, man, awesome thing, then you miss the whole point. You miss the point of what I'm trying to say. Listen, of course, there are great uses for technology. I'm just thinking about, you know, I've got online Bible studies going on right now, reaching people I never would have reached had it not been for technology. If you've heard me talk, I will regularly, and don't care not to, or something like that, to criticize Facebook. I'm great with criticizing Facebook, but I also advertise our Bible studies on Facebook because that's where the people are. The very pictures that you've already seen, I asked ChatGPT to make. I believe in technology. I believe it's real. I believe it helps. There are four people among us who have been helped greatly, four brethren, part of our family, who have been helped greatly by technology recently in being able to walk better. I'm thankful for technology. But saying I'm thankful for technology is like saying I'm thankful for marijuana. Are you thankful for marijuana? Are you? You should be. I'm thankful for marijuana. I'm thankful for the one good use that I know. But for every one good use that I know, there are 100 bad uses of marijuana. That statement has to be clarified. You can't just say, technology's great. Is it? I love this quote that I've been chewing on. Technology itself is neither good nor bad, nor neutral. Think about that. So then, this is what the question. If I'm striving toward maturity in my faith, what in discerning what is good, what is evil in my life, for me, Austin, this is the question that I have to think about. What will this do for me? How will this arrive at a conclusion? Where will this take me spiritually? That's what I want to know. Where are we going? And what can we do about it? Perhaps the most foundational issue is what we talked about a few weeks ago. Life. Remember how God sent Jesus, who then gave the Spirit, the promises of Spirit, that was to give us eternal life. Life abundantly. Now I'm going to put a picture up here. You tell me if this is life abundant. If you're sitting in that living room looking at that family and their faces, do you say, these are people who are truly living for the Lord and living life? By the way, don't be too critical of that, because that's how most of our faces look like when we're on our device. we're really engaged, we do not look engaged at all. We look dead, disengaged. Can you picture Jesus at the well in Samaria, people walking by, and he's fubbing them on his phone? Can you picture that? Would that be in the Bible? No. So what do we need? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." You know what Peter is saying essentially. Peter is saying, wake up. Be aware. Be cognizant of your environments. Is that what that picture described? Indeed, lift up your eyes, as Jesus would say, and as he'd say to us, from your phones, because there are people all around us who need the Lord. We don't just want to be different from the world from sin. We want to be different from the world in their foolishness, in their empty pursuits. As 1 Peter 1 would tell us, we were redeemed from the emptiness of our fathers, the foolishness of our fathers. We have inherited foolishness in our life in different ways. Dream with me for a minute. What would happen if our children here went out into the world and they looked grown adults in their eyes and talked to them? What would happen if we ourselves put down our phones and we invested in our children more and more, in our spouses and in those we just meet throughout life? You know, in the elevator. Oh, gotta pull out the phone. What would that look like for God's purposes? You know what? It would look like the world would take notice. This person's different. It's different in the way that they treat me. We look different. This is careful. We look different because we care different. We live intentional lives as disciples. It's true, there are no passages about smartphones, but there are plenty of passages about giving over what I want for whatever the needs are before me, dying to myself so that others may live. If my smart device can subtly make me more self-centered and disengaged, then my smart device is a help to the devil. Whatever it is. And so number two, that's number one. Number two, we're going to kind of work toward that. We're foolish then to think that the devil is not using this. Like I said, I'm not against technology, but can the devil use it to destroy God's work in our lives? And so the next two, I just want to think about what are his goals? What does he want us to do? What God would want for us first is God would want us to have reality, intimacy, realness. If he can destroy real connection, real conversation, life-changing, and you know what I'm talking about in this room, life-changing conversations, life-changing communication, then he will. Here in reality, here right now, you cannot turn me on to 2X. You can't speed Austin up. Can we get to lunch, please? You can't skip the ad. And you cannot skip to the part that you think is important of the sermon. This is real church. This is real in-person church. You can't stay in your pajamas. You can't get up during the collection and make your coffee. This is reality. And afterward, when a brother or sister is sharing something with you that they need help with, or a brother or sister is having a very important conversation that you need to hear, they're concerned for your soul, you can't just scroll past this part of life. because it's awkward, or because it's too much, or because it's inconvenient, or you're just bored. You're here, you're present. And I want to say part of this too is objectifying people. Who are the people among us? Who are the people in our lives, whether close or distant, and who we are communicating with? People are just, as the devil would want us to think, they're equal to images, they're equal to likes, to hearts, to comments. They're not real souls with real concerns. I was talking with somebody the other day, and he said, "I just hate demon rats." What? I hate Democrats. And there's a guy comment on Facebook that I want to just come through that screen and choke him. That's what was said to me. How do you get there? How do you get there in your mind? I don't see real people. You know, if you can't give me what I want in 5 seconds in a conversation, I'm bored. I'm done with you. I'd like to move on. This has been an interesting conversation. Hold on, I need to whip out my phone for a minute to see if there's anything new that other people can talk to me about that I'm actually interested in, because I'm not really interested in you. Whether or not you say that, it looks like it. And if I see something I don't like on social media from one of these humanoids, I can just shout them down with a comment or post, and I'll close out the app, and I'll go on another app, and I'll just be fine. Moving on. They mean nothing to me. I prove my point. I'm right, and I feel so good about myself because I'm on the right side. Is this cultural norm not affecting our hearts, brethren? Is it not? Here's what God would want. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. True biblical friendships are vulnerable. They're real. And people can say things that matter to you. They will tell you what you need to hear. However, fake friends online or in your phone will send you likes and praises and boost your ego. But Proverbs would say, what is that really? That's an enemy to what you really need. And so if someone comes along in reality, in God's reality, what he wants for you and for me, and someone comes along and they say, I want to help you. I see this issue. And they may have something to tell you that would rescue your soul from eternal hell. Well, I'm bored. Well, that's not really how my friends feel about me, my friends. Well, that person's not really relevant. And we move on. And number three, this is perhaps the why of the sermon. We could have just done number three by itself. This is the most damaging work of the devil, this part right here. Imagine, I'm going to give you a story. Imagine that you're raising kids and you think it would be a good idea, because they like it, to feed them every meal with cookies and ice cream. Now, some of you are saying that's not imaginary. That's what happens when they go to the grandparents. But I know some grandparents have tried this. But what if you did? What if you literally fed your child cookies and ice cream every single meal? Would they like it? Oh yeah, some kids are perking up. They're like, please listen to this part. You have trained their senses to love sweets, to love sugar. But you know, at the same time, you've trained them for something else. What would happen one day if you laid before them a feast, steak, green beans, mashed potatoes, salad. What would happen? Gag. Yuck. That's disgusting. It would taste disgusting to them. Why? Because, see, when you train them to only love sugar, then you also train them to not want anything that's actually nutritionally rich for them that would actually give them life. So what's the devil doing? He's destroying our taste. He's destroying, I want you to listen to me carefully on this point, everything that we want to have in our heart of hearts, that we really want to have in this life. He is destroying it. And it would be his ultimate goal if he could change us to where we just wanted the things that would not give us anything, then he could lead us far away from the Lord. Could it be that what I intake gradually, day by day, could corrupt my life into this perpetual empty vanity? And I wouldn't even know it. I would not even know it. So, is this a young people problem? What we're talking about, is this a young people problem? Think about our food story. What happens if we have a steady diet of screens, scrolling, clickbait, viral clips, and streaming shows, and then attempt to, I think I should read my Bible today. What's going to happen to you and I when we pick up that Bible and we try to think, actually think? It's disgusting. Now, we would never say that, but it's a chore and it's boring. God's word is boring. That's what we would think. Why? Because we got there one sweet at a time. One sugary sweet at a time. We have no taste for it. And why would we, brethren? If you've not trained yourself to think, instead you train yourself to be entertained, this is going to be your response when you try to think about the Word of God. If our kids hate to read the Bible, could this be it? I'm not saying it is, okay? I'm saying, could it be in one of your kids' hearts? If we ourselves struggle to have any personal, quiet devotion to the Lord, could this be it? If you ask to study with a coworker and you're met with a yawn of disinterest, why? Could this be it? You see how the devil could be at work? The devil's laughing at all of it. This, what I'm talking about right here, changing our taste, our desires, this is what is going on when I can sit and watch 30, 45, who knows how long minutes of YouTube, and I can come in here and fall asleep during a sermon of God's word. This is what's happening. Perhaps we're being entertained to death. I have a serious question for you. How can God get through to me and get through to you if for 1 hour, just one, we cannot give him our hearts and our devotion without checking our text and our emails and whatever else notifications? Which I have seen here. I've seen that here. And I've seen it at every other church I've been to. Don't tell me we don't have a problem with that. I've seen a 50-year-old preacher sitting in the pew listening to someone preach, scrolling his Facebook. And that was not an issue because he didn't love God or wasn't spiritual. We've got a problem. We do. And it's not, there's just so many other anecdotes I could offer, but 21st century Christians, we have an issue with this. And listen, if that hits you hard, if you're easily distracted, like me, I'll be the first person to raise my hand. I'm very easily distracted. Ask my wife, which she walked out. Good timing. If you're a person who is easily distracted, bring this to church. I'm not against phone Bibles, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it that I would fub God. He deserves all of my reverence and my honor and my attention, not me checking different apps as I'm also looking at the Bible. And if that's you at home, get you a paper Bible. God deserves our full attention, our full honor. Psalm 34, well, I have this up here. Sorry, I skipped something. What did Jesus desire for his people? John 6:45, it says, "And they shall all be taught of God." Now that's a quote from Isaiah talking about the new covenant people. Not they shall all be raised in the church. Not they shall all be used to traditions. Not all they shall all go to church two times a week, Sundays and Wednesday nights. They shall all be taught of God. Me individually, is my heart being taught of him daily? Am I a part of the all there? I want to be. And I've got to figure out a way to be if I'm not. I've got to. Because I want to be part of that, what he's talking about. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 63, 1 through 3, in a dry and weary land where there is no water, my soul thirsts for you, O God. Now think about that with this topic. Is the land of technology leaving you absolutely parched? If you're honest with yourself, if you've ever, after binge-watching a show or spent way too much time on your phone, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You did feel parched. Empty inside. God wants us to come and to take the living water from him, not the emptiness of the world. When you spend hours a week in front of a screen, you're not filled up. And if you don't remember the last time you've hungered for God's word, really hungered, that you were excited to read what he wants for you, you personally. That you were not prepared for trying to prepare for Bible class or not load up on some doctrine or not check a daily reading box, but because you just desire God, because you have a taste for him and you love him. If that's a foreign idea to you and you don't remember the last time, but you do remember lots of screen time, could it be, brother, sister, that the world has slowly, gradually corrupted your taste? That you taste and look for and desire things that will lead to spiritual death. Perhaps there is this rich feast awaiting you, but you'd rather settle for cookies and ice cream day in and day out for you and for your family. Let's just turn on the tube Let's tune out. And let me just offer you, if you're one of those people sitting here, and I have been this way in my life, so, and this is not a judgment for you, but if you're one of those people who say, I actually do want a feast, and I don't know how, I do want a feast from God's word, then don't leave here today without talking. Let's talk about it. How can we start that? How can we work on that so you can be the all taught of God? Don't leave here today without talking about it, or talk to one of our shepherds for your soul. That's what they're for. They want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Well, God has desired the good things for us, and the devil wants to destroy it any way that he can. So we learned that, I think. I hope I've portrayed that. But what are some practical ways that we can make some changes? I call this helpful pit stops because I'm corny. And it's a driving theme, so excuse me. However, think about it. That's what I want you to do. I want you to stop and just think through some of these things. They're not going to be super challenging or hard, but just think, is this me? Do I fit one of these? If you don't, blessed are you. That's great. But if you do, I want this to be something practical for you, not just, hey, things are really bad. What can we do? First one, examine your life stealers. Everybody has stress. Everybody has things that are sucking the life out of them. But what are those things specifically? What stresses you out? What makes you angry? Is some of that related to this? Could it be related to that? At what points are you stressed and angry? I love this quote. I'm not smart enough to come up with it. Don't let the day happen to you. Happen to your day. I like that. Don't just let it happen to you. Happen to your day. Don't let people you don't even know out there on the interwebs have power over you. Philippians 4, verse 8. Choose to fill your mind. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Fill your mind is that word in meditate. And notice I said choose. That's exactly the opposite of what's been happening in our culture and happening to us. We will fill our minds. There is no doubt about it. What are you doing today after church? Well, I don't know. You will find something to do. And you will find something to fill your mind with, even if you don't know what it is. And so, fill your mind on what can be helpful to you. What will that look like right before work? What will that look like right before school? What about that 15-minute break? What about just before bed or after dinner with your family? What will you choose to click on in your mind? Set boundaries. This is a personal one for me. I'm not perfect on this, but I do my best thinking and focusing when if I'm working at home, if I set my phone on the fireplace mantle, and I walk into my office. I do my best thinking that way. I do my best morning devotions when I choose. I'm going to leave my phone on the kitchen counter, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to sit and read and pray. I'm not going to have my phone anywhere in reach. And this has hit me several times. Maybe you can relate. I do my best fathering when my phone's not in my hand. I'm a better husband when my phone's not in my hand. I love when I see families have a common place for devices so that they can be present with each other at different times of the day. Set limits for yourself, for your family. Set limits on yourself. Today, I'll only check Facebook right before bed, and that's it. This morning, I'm not checking anything until I check in with God, whatever it is, and hear from Him. Fill my mind with good things. Get a mirror. Some of you are like, did you check the mirror, Austin? but get a mirror. What does that mean? We can't always see ourselves, so we need a mirror. Who in your life can you give power to and you say, hey, can you tell me when I'm on stuff too much? I'm checked out. I'm not paying attention to you or to the family or whatever the situation is. Can you be honest with me? And somebody tell me, you know, come on. You know, you're spending way too much time on that. Hey, you've actually been eating cookies and ice cream all day. You got to stop. Like, too much. Like, let's get into reality. Take a break. Get connected with us. Can you, if you're in this situation where you feel like you're on your phone a little too much or screens, can you empower somebody in your life to be honest with you and just say, hey, a little too much? My wife is a great mirror. She's so good at this. And so I'm thankful for her. Know yourself. Again, the internet can be useful. Again, I use Facebook to connect with people. I'm not against Facebook or Instagram or Anygram out there. But listen, any of them are useless if I, Austin, can't honor my God in them. One more time. Any of them are useless if I, Austin, cannot honor my God in them. If you can't do some of these things, if that's like, that's asking way too much, Austin. I cannot have my phone or my iPad or whatever. Like, what are you trying to say? I can't do this. If this is overwhelming, then you need to consider the outcome. You can go to heaven without Instagram, Fox News, Facebook, Netflix, ESPN apps. You can go to heaven without those things. But you won't go as an angry person. Did you hear that? You will not go as an angry person. You won't go to heaven incessantly lazy. You wicked and slothful servant is what Jesus would say. And you will not make it there if you live in lust, especially to the men. But that's a men and women problem. You will not make it there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 is where we'll end. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Paul's quoting them and saying, you're saying all things are lawful. That's actually not true. Here's some qualifications. First, not all things are profitable, which we talked a little bit about. Not all things are actually that good for you. And then, all things are lawful, but I will not be mastered by anything. Don't be under the power of anything. If there's some app, if there's some screen that has power over your life, power over you, you can't. You can't let that happen. Well, you might say, Austin, come on. There's no way that I'm under power of something, that I'm going to issue a challenge to you specifically. Give that up for 3 days. That's it. That's all I'm asking. You give up whatever specific thing that you're telling me right now, there's no way that has power over me. I'm fine. I can use it as much as I want. I'm good. Give it up for 3 days. And at the end of those 3 days, if you've demonstrated power over it, then you know. But you don't know right now. You think you know, but you're not sure. But then you know how you felt during those 3 days. Were you kind of itchy? Or were you able to cut it off? I know a grandmother who won't get on Facebook because she knows in her heart it will exacerbate the temptation to be angry. She has anger issues and she wants to be pure. So she just won't get on Facebook. That's going to be different for every single person about what your boundaries and what yours aren't. what your boundaries aren't. But know yourself and get help and accountability. Remember, we talked about the church is not perfect people. It's a hospital for the wounded, and we want to help each other. Get accountability from someone if you feel powerless or you feel out of control. Are you with me? We certainly have not reached an episode of something on Netflix. You with me? Better to enter into life missing a few things from this life than doing whatever you want all the time and being alone, really alone, really alone, and spiritually dead. Will you pray with me? Our good God, our King, we are so thankful that you know our hearts, that you love us and you care for us. We're so thankful that you've given us the tactics of the devil. We know that he is cunning, scheming, that he is subversive and deceptive. And we pray, God, that we would live in truth and not be deceptive in our maturity, being able to discern between what is good and what is evil for each of us. We would grow to be taught of you, to know who you are, to desire you. Help us, God, to use technology for your glory in our lives. Not our own. Not our own glory, God. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. Help us to examine our hearts today and fill our minds with good things. Help us to set boundaries, to be careful disciples. And if we're struggling, get accountability. Forgive us, God, if we've wronged you in some way. Forgive us. We want to be right with you. Give us the courage to give up the things of this world, if needed, and to be ready for the next one. We love you, God, and we're thankful for your patience with each of us. We're mindful, God, of how much we have grown in our life, how much we continue to grow in the reality and the truth of the scriptures. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's it. That's what I leave with you. This is what God wants for you. He wants real life, engaged life. He wants reality, not fake, not a facade. And he wants you to taste and see that he's good. He wants you to see the blessings that he offers in his word and in his life and in his work in your world. Are you tired of what the world has been feeding you? Come to him. Drink everlasting life. Now and every day from here. If you need help individually with that, you need a mirror and you feel like you need guidance on that, I want to help in any way. Your shepherds want to help in any way. This is more than just doctrine. It's about living for righteousness, living to please our Lord. If you're ready though, you know right now what you need to do to become a Christian, be baptized into Christ for forgiveness of your sins, we're ready to do that too. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?